Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like no matter how hard you work, success just doesn't seem to come to you? In today's podcast and post, we explore the world's common definitions for success and why they're not that helpful to us. I mean, is success just a recipe that millionaire gurus deconstruct for us? Or is it something altogether different? Join me now as I offer four questions that allow us to see beyond the surface level wins and help us see the true measure of success. Hello, everybody. And thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name's Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the podcast. If you're listening on Pandora, iTunes Radio, from the website, from the link in the newsletter, wherever you found me today, I want to say welcome. I want to say thank you for giving your time, your attention, and your focus to this. This content here is not just for entertainment purposes. It's here to build you up, to encourage you, to help you find the life you're seeking. Folks, wow, it has been a lot going on in my head lately. Every now and then I kind of reflect on some of the podcasts and the posts and the feedback that are out there. And I love being a part of the dialogue, a part of the bigger conversation as it is. And whenever I put a post out, I always get some interesting feedback. Last week's post on A Thirst for God clearly triggered people. Some people actually don't listen to the post. They just reply to the kind of header, the teaser, so to speak, making all kinds of assumptions about me and about this stuff. And it's amazing the number of religious people, people of faith, who don't even listen to or even read the entire podcast or the post or any of that, but will make an assumption about me and take it as their job to shred me, to flame me, to, you know, criticize some of the things I'm saying. And I always reply back, did you listen to the podcast? And the podcast is always colored with layers that are not in the post, but either one will get you closer to what I'm trying to say. And usually, inevitably, they haven't, and they don't care to. They just are there. Their role in the world is to be a corrective measure as they see it, I guess. It's always interesting to me. And then there's a population of people that just respond, like they hear it. They see the trajectory. They come to see the truth through Scripture, through their life experience. And there's a resonation. There's a convergence that comes to play, and it means something to them. And so, folks, wherever you find yourself today, whether you lost a bet and you have to listen to this, whether you just stumbled across it, whether you're a longtime listener, this is something today that I think impacts us all. And a lot of times I like to dive into the deep end. Today, I don't really see this as diving into the deep end. This is going to be a very practical podcast. And it has to do with success. And it's here because I am dealing with this in my life. And I have to keep coming back to these principles almost every day, sometimes multiple times a day, in order to avoid teetering into a funk of despair or hopelessness. I think that's kind of part of our worldwide collective consciousness right now. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when success won't come to you. You're doing all you know to do, but it just doesn't come together, right? Can you relate to that? I think a lot of us can. We are working very, very hard, and the ends don't meet. The big dream isn't coming into view. The business isn't getting liftoff. The ministry is struggling. Where is God in all of this? Where is all of that talk about God providing, God caring, God listening, God, all of that? And yet things fail. work doesn't happen? What's happening? What's going on when success won't come? And folks, this is near and dear to my heart, but as I reach out and have heard back from many of my listeners, I engage with you on this. Many of you just offer your prayers and hope and comfort, comforting words, encouraging words. I thank you for that. But today really comes to a really practical conversation. Okay, so that's how we're going to deal. We're going to look at four questions, which I have used in coaching and I use on myself constantly. And it's podcast number 258. It's called When Success Won't Come. And when it comes to success, I mean, we are all seeking some measure of success. It may be that we desire to pass a class or graduate. We want to maybe raise healthy, well-adjusted kids. I sure hope you do. We might want to enjoy a loving marriage. Those might be the markers of successful life for you. Some of us are seeking huge endeavors, risky endeavors that could pay off really well if it all comes together. Others of us are just trying to finish the quarter strong. We just want to make it through this economic downturn. You know, but all of us, we're seeking to succeed at the endeavors to which we've already given ourselves every day. Like our life is already 98% have to already. And so with the have to's, you want to see at least some measure of success, right? Now, you and I know things don't always work out as we hope. There's a phrase that says life happens when we're making other plans. And I decided to address this topic because this has been a subject of many conversations lately. And like I said in the intro, it's something I'm personally working through, finding it very difficult to produce results in a way that I'm accustomed to producing. I've been a career sales guy in the biotech space for nearly 20 years, and I've never worked as hard as I'm working now. And yet, I've always seen huge benefit from my output. Right now, in a COVID world, the challenge is harder than ever. But it doesn't dissuade me. It doesn't cause me to quit. But I can't lie to you and act as if, hey, you just keep on going. No, man, some days I get down on myself. I get discouraged. I wonder if it's all coming unraveled. I wonder if the shoe is going to drop. I wonder if God's mad at me. I wonder all these kinds of weird malware scripts that are introduced into my thinking, that they're there just like they are for you. But, you know, we all have this shared sense of deep concern right now in the world. We're all stressed about what's happening, and we know that things are not flowing like they used to in our pre-COVID world, in the world before everybody burnt everything down, right? Everything's uncertain. Our election, our politics, our world, everything is confusing. We're looking to politics to solve these problems, which are absolutely impossible to solve politically because they're conditions of the heart. And for this reason, I thought I'd share some of these questions that I ask myself and I ask others when I do uncoaching with them. And we're going to try and deconstruct why things aren't working and what we can do about it. Because these questions drive to the heart of why I say this is a heart-level matter. And, you know, in world and business and all kinds of stuff, we got these gurus who you pay big bucks and they just tell you how to break it down. They deconstruct how to make your life successful. They guarantee it. You buy their program, you attend their seminar, you pay them their thousands, and they promise you, you will be a success. One gentleman that I've followed for years, who's a great online coach and marketer, if you subscribe to his inner circle, which is $50,000, he will guarantee you $1 million business. That sounds like a deal you can't pass up, right? So how is it that they can just do all of this, right? They're not going to just give you the tools and the map. You can't get there with just the tools and the map. You have to go deeper. There are inner work that has to be transformed, but that doesn't mean we ignore the outer tools in the map. So today, these four questions kind of help deconstruct some of that for us. So the first question, if success isn't coming to us, that we have to ask is, do we know what to do? Do you know what to do right now? I mean, when success won't come, there is clearly confusion. You're confused about why the work you're doing doesn't produce the results you're seeking. And it's right that we should feel lost or out of sync with what's happening. I mean, the rate of flow has changed in our world, if you haven't noticed. Some of you, the rate of flow has increased dramatically. And for some of you, it has come to nearly a standstill. And if you don't adapt, you're going to be in confusion. Your success won't line up for you. And at times like this, we may not know what to do. And if that's the case, then figuring out what to do is our first assignment. But where do you start? May I make a suggestion? Walk over to your mirror and look in it. The highest level of leaders look in the mirror first, right? In Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, the level 5 leader doesn't look out at the window of the workshop trying to find somebody to blame. He first or she first looks in the mirror. See, we all must begin with a good plan. And folks, you've heard this before, hoping for a rescue, hoping for a better day, hoping this works out is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. If you don't know what to do, then you're over your head, right? You can kind of pull it out of your hind end and go along and wing it, as a lot of people do. But this is a time where you probably would do well to seek counsel, get coaching or help to get your life moving, right? If you're not sure what to do, look in your blind spots. Well, how can you do that, right? We need the help of others to see our blind spots. Why? Because they're blind to us. We can't see them. Impossible. We need others to help us. We need each other to become better. And so for those of us who already kind of know all too well what needs to be done, I mean, we have to be willing to do it. Knowing how to build a house will not provide a dwelling for us. But it is a prerequisite for any home. You need to know what to do. See, every structure in our society first began as a blueprint. And that blueprint first began as an idea, a vision within the mind of the architect. And so where are you in this process? You may have a blueprint or some idea, a dream, a hope for your future. That is a great place to start. Well, let's put it down into a plan. And then from the plan, we got to do the work. Right? And that's the second question. The first question is, do you know what to do? The second question is, have you put in the work? I know that's the question. We all answer that, yes. But no. Remember, we're looking in the mirror. This is you looking at a real evaluation of your life, your diligence, right? See, if you know what to do, the next question is, have you done it? This question unearths our deeper motivation and some of that internal malware scripts that plague our progress. And folks, we all have those. And whereas ignorance lies behind the first question of, do you know what to do? Diligence lies behind this question of, have you put in the work? See, ignorance and diligence are subjective. They're not objective. Reality. Diligence can be measured objectively, of course. Do you do it? See, every successful endeavor is not a single event. And I don't know why our world likes to look at it like this. It's crazy. And this is part of the problem. But a successful endeavor is a series of countless smaller events which build upon each other over time until that successful endeavor is realized. You know, often we're motivated to start a project, but then later our motivation fades. We become distracted by other projects which compete with our time. I had a neighbor that started at least 10 backyard projects, never finished a single one of them. I always wondered, why did you start building a shed that you're not going to finish building? And why did you start building the shed before you finished building your patio? And why did you finish, you know, not finish building your patio before you started to plant your garden, which you never finished? You see, it's like, we get there. Some people have this tendency to start stuff, start something new, because we get distracted. We become uninspired once the work begins. In the end, we all must ask if we're doing the work which is required to accomplish our goal. And some of the steps in the process of reaching our goal are just not fun. Some of them are not comfortable for you. Some are risky. You're going to have to make that hard phone call. You're going to have to turn all those doorknobs and face countless rejection. This is my job every day. Go out and get beat up in the marketplace. Be told no over and over again. Be told, I don't want to talk to you. Be looked at with the first assumption that you are an annoying, irrelevant salesperson. Overcome that objection to the point where you can finally get them to listen. But how do you do that when the whole culture, the ethos, is set against you? That's my job. Some of the steps of the work are not fun. Some steps are costly. Yeah, then when you get to that part, it's going to cost you tons of time, perhaps a lot of money. It's going to cost your investment of emotion, you know, whatever it is. Nonetheless, they can't be avoided, right? You can't build the house and avoid that difficult, unfun part of putting in the foundation. It just won't work. Success is always on the other side of diligence. I know this, you know this, but when we're in the midst of it, you know, it's easy to forget, right? The next question then is, not only do you know what to do, the next question then is not, have you done it, but have you put in the time? See, there's a difference here. This is where some people really get distracted. And this is kind of where I find myself bouncing back. And this becomes a really helpful answer to me when I'm teetering on my pit of despair, right? It's, have I put in the time? And while I'm putting in the time daily and doing the work, what I have to be honest about is that in this world, the COVID world, with the challenges that we're all facing, the confusion that we're all facing, the collective consciousness of concern and worry and fear, where we're all singularly thinking about our own self-interest and protected, we're shielded, we're guarded, we're on defense and not offense, is it likely that the time to success is going to be longer than usual? Yes. Therefore, I have to put in that time. See, you know what to do, and you've been doing it. The question is, have you done it enough? See, this is truly a difficult question because it taps into whether or not we are faithful or whether we have a vision. You know, my son, he's 15, and he builds these amazing, elaborate scale model airplanes. I'd love to show you a picture and talk about them if you're interested in seeing them. He's got a 9-foot long MD-11 and multiple other planes that he's built. And they're scale. I mean, they look like the real plane and they fly like the real plane. They're amazing. And he loves that experience of bringing into reality this big project. But it takes, like his MD-11 took him 10 months to build. And some of the steps in the construction process are so tedious and so boring, so uninspiring, that I wonder how they're ever completed. I could seriously, it's not in my disposition to ever do that. However, his effort is a tremendous reminder to me, since it should be an inspiration to all of us and those just like him doing work just like this, about keeping our eyes on the ultimate goal, having vision, and remaining faithful to execute even the most monotonous work with excellence. See, he learned early on that planes that were built with haste don't fly well, they don't last long, and they don't satisfy. But when you take the time and you repeat the tedious, monotonous work with excellence. Over time, you do reach completion of those steps. And the product at the end is amazing and intensely satisfying. See, we would do well to adopt the same kind of faithfulness towards our hopes for success. I'm in this place now with my work. I mean, in sales, there is a seeding process before you ever have a harvest. And while I expect it sprouts by now, they just haven't come, and it's really discouraging for me. I hate letting down my team and my company like that. But I know I'm doing the work. I know I'm creating the right soil. I just have to give it the time it needs. We have to keep on sometimes. And here's a reality. Sometimes our companies won't give us that time. Sometimes we're in a framework where that time is not a luxury. Then what do? See, this is where we can easily get off rails. You can either stick to doing the work, or you can throw the plane together in haste in hopes of just, you know, keeping your job or whatever. But the product in the end won't fly. Is it worth it? See, perhaps you feel like giving up. Perhaps you feel like you're in a dead-end, monotonous feedback loop. What if you're only at the beginning? What if you're in the middle of a process that could take years, maybe decades, or a lifetime to accomplish? How do you know when you've put in enough time? See, some people derail their success because they think it must come faster than it actually does. Your business, your blog, your ministry, it's not going to be a success in 6 months. I'm sorry that the guru told you it could be. It's great that it worked out for him, but, you know, he knew 7 influential people that made it possible. If your dream is a byproduct of who you truly are, then you will not mind giving your life toward the effort. A decade is really just getting started. They say it takes 10 years to master anything. So how could you possibly be as successful as something you haven't even mastered yet? Now, here's the last question. Do you know what to do? Have you done it? Have you done it long enough? Have you put in the time? Here's the last question. Have you surrendered the outcome? And this is the part where you probably dislike my trajectory. This is where a lot of modern philosophy on business, on growth, on everything else derails, because surrendering the outcome is never an option, right? For many of these people, the tenacity of never giving up is why they're in that place. And hey, man, my hat's off to you. But stay with me if you can, because this is something for which I've truly given my life to understanding. If your dream of success is measured in externals, if it's based on your income, your status, your fame, notoriety, influence, subscribers, whatever it is, then be careful and be warned. You are giving your life to something after which you obtain it could leave you tremendously dissatisfied and empty. Jesus put it like this in Luke 9:25. He says, "What does it profit a person if he or she gains the whole world and loses or forfeits him or herself?" If you forfeit yourself in the process, what do you gain? It's a great question. You see, the world only has eyes to see the external measures of success. Maybe you got pulled into those as well. You want to have money. You want to have power. You want to live the big life. When the world defines success, it does it in a way that appeals to our lust for power, our hope and dream for adulation, our need to be needed or wanted or desired. It appeals to our desire for comfort or freedom, right? But are these the true measures of success? Are these what we want our children to pursue? You know, son, I would be the happiest dad in the world if you would just pursue your lust for power. If you could just do, no matter what you do, just become someone who everybody is fawns over. I want you to enjoy the adulation of everybody. Like, really? What kind of parent would that be? Are these somehow lurking behind our own personal hopes for success? We have to look at it. And if so, we must know that there's another measure for success. We have to, if we want a fulfilling life, if we want to enjoy our toil and our time under the sun, if we want to find satisfaction. We have to measure success differently than the world does, not with externals, with internals. And this is why I use these four questions, because they uncover the internal part in addition to looking at the external part. It's not an either or, it's a both and. We must look upon the motivations of our heart. We have to look toward internal success first. Then the external success can flow or follow because it's a byproduct. External success is a byproduct. It's not a goal. It's not an end product. It's what happens when you do the right things. See, in the book of Samuel, Samuel says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The prophet Isaiah says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, so are my thoughts than your thoughts." Right? You see, God is looking at the heart, which is the true measure of success. That doesn't mean we abandon the work before us or our goals that we share with our companies, we share with our ministries, our families. These goals of production are vital. They're important. They are spiritually based. But what this means is that God measures success by who can surrender the outcome and still remain faithful and diligent and engaged in the work to which we are all called to do. Ah, Kevin, how do you know what your calling is? How do you know what we are called to do? I've answered this question a lot, and it's a simple, simple answer. People go get really spiritual. How do you know your calling? No, you got to do this inventory. You got to take a personality test. You got to take a spiritual gifts test. You got to do blah, blah, blah. No, it's simple. Here's the question that helps you find it. What needs to be done today? What needs to be done right now? That's your calling. You might be called to the dishes right now. Your kitchen might be a disaster. God is calling you to do your dishes, to being diligent, faithful, having a vision, and applying yourself with excellence to dishes. That's your calling. It's mine. You might be called to a crying child. The crying child is not a distraction from your goal or your real calling. The crying child is your calling. The dishes are your calling. The tall grass in your front yard that needs to be mowed is God calling you to mow the lawn, take out the trash, shovel the walk, wash your car, vacuum your house, organize your closet. Do not over-spiritualize it. What needs to be done right now? Do it in faith. Do it with excellence as unto the Lord. See, this is a thing that I've heard. I don't know who said it first, but it's an ethos that my family shares. I share it with my kids. And this is it. How we do anything is how we do everything. See, just execute whatever you have to do with excellence, as though you were doing it for the Lord. Is it laundry? Do you have to drive a truck? Do you have to go write code? Do you sell tests for cancer? Do you build or repair or cook? Whatever it is. You know, Solomon put it this way, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In 1 Corinthians, it says, so whether you eat or whether you drink, no matter what you do, do all of it to the glory of God. You see, we don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, our role is ideal for us. We don't have to whether or not this job is below us, that we've reached our potential. That's an ego talking. It doesn't matter if you're between roles, between jobs, between callings, whatever it is. Just do what you have to do today. If you know you need to write 1,000 words, go write your 1,000 words. If you know you need to put an ad, then put the ad in. Do what you have to do. That's your calling. Each of us are called each day. We must go out and gather. It's manna. We have to celebrate it, which it is. If you want to change it, that's fine. Just change it precisely in the same diligent way that you would do your work. Do the lawn and then go make a change. Do the dishes. Attend to your crying child and then institute the change. Start the process that will get you onto a new road. 5 years is going to come by no matter what. You might as well get your education. You might as well get your training. You might as well get set so that in 5 years you're not complaining the same way you've been complaining the last 5 years. Don't get too distracted with this one day. Focus on what needs to be done today. This is the teaching and the wisdom of Scripture. Jesus put it this way, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, this is really surrendering outcomes, which is the epitome of faith. It's accepting that what comes based on an honest appraisal of our faithfulness, our diligence, our knowledge of what we've been given to do today. Why should any of us be given a new lot, a larger pursuit, a greater position, more responsibility, more money? Why would God bless us in the big thing if we haven't been faithful to execute with excellence the small thing which he's already given in front of us? And it's called dishes. It's called vacuuming. It's called paint your house. Whatever it is. If anyone's not willing to work, Paul says in Thessalonians, let him not eat. See, surrendering the outcomes is not apathy. It's not quitting. It's a new level of trusting the Lord and his provision for us. It's meeting each moment as it comes in faith and accepting it as the love of God showing up in and as each moment. Yeah, God loves you. You know how I know? Your grass is 6 inches tall. Your dishes are piled up. The laundry in the laundry room is way out of control. That's how I know God loves you. See, we do all our work in hopes of particular outcomes, yet we accept that maybe these outcomes may not come. Maybe you won't get that big job. Maybe all of your studies in theology don't turn into anything. Yeah, that was transparent, wasn't it? So what? What if you took out that money and invested in the big business endeavor and it falls flat? Yeah, I know. This is our life. This is the reality. Success is doing the faithful work, not necessarily obtaining the results of that work. The results don't always represent the work. Like, have you ever met anybody who made it big and they didn't even do anything, hardly at all? They just were in the right place the right time. That's called luck. That's not diligence. Is that a good measure of success when lucky people write books? So look, this is a poor way to evaluate success. So if surrendering outcomes means we miss our deadline due to unforeseen circumstances, then so be it. If it means we fail in our mission, so be it. If it means we don't get paid, if it means we lose our job, so be it. I'm a professional salesperson. I have to face this reality everywhere I go. If I don't put up the points, I am exposed. Maybe you're a manager. If your team doesn't deliver, you are exposed. Maybe you're a CEO. If you don't bring the results to the boardroom, you are exposed. Doesn't matter. Business owner, dog walker, cook. However, if we're faithful, diligent, we serve others with excellence in our work, as unto the Lord, we may just find that our biggest dreams were not big enough. We may discover that reaching our hope for success was not as meaningful as the success we obtained within our hearts in working toward it. See, while we thought we were building a business, we thought we were building a ministry or a service, we discover that God was using the business, ministry, or service to actually build us. And when we finally see this happening, I promise the new world will begin to emerge.